You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 9th of October, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is here, and that means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, and the listeners are going to be glad to know that we are back in full clown this week. You know, I enjoyed last week's show. We just kind of flew by the seat of the pants, which is always kind of my style, but this week we're back in full clown. If I'd have been thinking about it, Sven, I'd have told you to go ahead and get that. You remember you had your horn honk sound. You know, we could have used that this week. You know, honk, honk. Yeah, there it is. Yes, you were prepared. I was a dollar short and a day late, or however it is, but you were prepared with the clown horn.
Well, we need it. I think with today's article, I mean, just looking at the picture alone is incredible. The poor guy that they've forced to dress as a model in a dress. You can really just look at the look on his face is just incredible. I'm going to put it with the podcast article today, because Italian luxury brand Gucci are selling a £1,700 orange check dress, which features satin bow detail, in a bid to fight the toxic stereotypes that mold masculine gender identity. The tartan cotton long smock shirt, which comes with mother of pearl buttons and contrast Peter Pan collar, is inspired by grunge looks from the 90s. Yes, that's right, because all the rockers of the 90s were wearing dresses, weren't they? I mean, this is just incredible. There are two things here. Why are they allowed to get away with calling masculine gender identity toxic? Why is it toxic to be male? And the second thing is, how insulting is this to the rockers of the 90s? All these rock bands, Nirvana, Soundgarden, none of them were wearing dresses. I mean, this isn't Culture Club. This poor bloke that they've got dressed up like this, he obviously is a rocker, and they're just mocking him, totally mocking this poor guy. I'm really offended by this, but what do you make of it, Grandpa?
Well, the only thing reminiscent of grunge bands from the 90s is this guy looks like he's ready to go Kurt Cobain and put a shotgun in his mouth as he poses for the picture. And honestly, I can't blame him. I don't know how much they paid him, but obviously must not have been enough. We're just on the cutting edge of technology. Just put on a dress. It's of course continuing to be absurd. I remember being in high school and back in the day, and remember when Twisted Sister was a thing, but I don't think any of us ever put on stockings, and crap. It was just something that rock bands did. Where are they even going with this? And they're wearing them over pants. I mean, wouldn't it be truly cutting edge if they just went ahead and put on hose too? But then I guess that would just be he's dressing like a woman. I guess they're trying to mix it up in a way to where, see, he's not totally trans or anything, but he's wearing, I don't know. I don't even know what to make sense of it anymore, because there is no sense to be made. It's just absurd. And you read the story and you look at the pictures and you find at the end of it, you have the same look on your face as the guy modeling the dress. It's just like, what the hell is even going on here? Because I don't know.
Well, you bring up Kurt Cobain there. They do actually say that this is modeled on Kurt Cobain. They claim that he once wore a shirt with a collar, a lacy collar, and they've extended that to mean, well, Kurt Cobain would have really wanted to wear a Peter Pan collar with mother of pearl buttons and this blouse, basically. And as you say, he's wearing it over the top of jeans. Have you seen the latest fashion in jeans? Grass stains. We've gone from having jeans that are pre-ripped to jeans that are now covered in mud and grass, and they're charging thousands of pounds for these jeans as well, of course. But according to the fashion giant, the tartan smock, see, they're calling it a smock, not a dress. It's actually a frock, which can be styled over ripped denim jeans, comes in delicate colours reflecting the idea of fluidity. Explored for the fall winter 2020 fashion show, disrupting the toxic stereotypes that mould masculine gender identity. So just wearing a normal shirt and tie, that's toxic, is it? Just wearing a normal T-shirt, that's toxic. I mean, what they're saying is, if you don't dress like a woman, if you're a man and you actually dress like a man, then that's a toxic gender identity. That is, we can only have female gender identities for both the genders. I mean, this is just so insulting that they can get away with this. They would never be able to say something like this about women. I mean, have you ever heard them talk about toxic femininity? Toxic feminism? You would be accused of hate speech if you did that, of course, because it's all one-sided, this. What do you make of these ideas about fluidity that they're talking about here, and this insult of toxic masculinity, Grandpa?
I'm still hung up on the fact that this shit costs £1,700, because I'm pretty sure that's pretty close to $1,700 on American money. I mean, who is going to actually pay for that? And you brought up the jeans thing, and you just made my mind go off on a tangent, because I'm apparently a fashion trendsetter, because my pants are always got stains and crap, and people pay all this money for these pants that are got holes in them and oil stains and grass stains. And you don't have to pay £1,700 for that crap. You can actually just go out and do work. You could
they could buy them from you, Grandpa. They could buy their pre-stained grandpa pants from Grandpa Lampshade. You could charge them $1,700 for it.
I'm rubbing my hands in glee right now. I'm rubbing my hands in glee with the idea of you know, I could start my own fashion line. Yeah, even though, like, if you went back in time, I've wore the same basic fashion since the 80s. I had the same clothes. You couldn't tell any difference. It'd be like, okay, what are you wearing? A shirt and blue jeans. Same thing I would have been wearing 30, 40 years ago. But no, yeah, go out and spend all of this money for pants that have stains in it. Just try going out and doing some work, and you'll actually do something. Yes, of course, then I guess you would be contributing to this toxic masculinity. What the hell is even so toxic masculinity? I guess it's toxic if you actually, I don't know, go and do things, fix things, build things, grow things. They talk about these things. It's like when you hear commies go on about Trump supporters or whatever the case may be. And it's so amazing because they have no clue that these people that they hate, these toxic masculinity, all these things they revile and hate, you know, they depend on it. I mean, this whole machine continuing to run depends on these things. I was talking with somebody the other day. Yes, I am going off on a tangent. I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, and these people tell you, well, you know, the center of the country just depends on New York City. The country just depends. New York City is the center because Wall Street is there and all of this corporate headquarters are in places like New York City. The country relies on New York City. Well, I hate to tell you, but flyover land is where the food comes from. And push comes to shove, they need flyover land a hell of a lot worse than flyover land needs New York City or places such as that. And likewise, they need toxic masculinity a hell of a lot more than the rest of the country needs gender fluidity or whatever the hell the latest thing they dreamed up is.
Well, you would have thought that the fact that he's wearing jeans, isn't that representative of toxic masculinity? Are they really saying that wearing a shirt is toxic, but wearing the jeans is somehow okay? Well, the orange and beige dress, which is made from 100% cotton, also features short sleeves, a smock embroidery, and a button front. The description online reads, "The contrast Peter Pan collar and smock embroidery on the front add a childhood-inspired element, which ties to a recurrent theme of the collection." So they're also bringing children into this, which is rather sinister. They've got this bloke dressed up as a woman, and they're now trying to say, well, he should be trying to look like a child as well. I mean, are they trying to capitalize in on this this pro-pedophilia thing that we're seeing recently, where they're trying to normalize pedophilia. They're going to try and get adults dressing up now as children, as well as women. I mean, this is really twisted. They continue, pieces with versatile ways to wear and style embrace each person who is part of the house's individual spirit. And if orange is not your color, there is also a floral print creation available at the slightly cheaper price of $1,150. Yes, because if the Peter Pan collar and wearing an orange dress isn't quite good enough for you, you can wear a flower dress as well and show how much you hate your own identity, basically. That's what they're saying, isn't it? They're trying to get people to say that they actually hate being male. Anybody that wears this is saying that they hate being male. And this is, of course, why the model looks so depressed and upset at being mocked in this way. I mean, he's being hideously mocked here. They're saying, wear this and show the world how much you hate being male. I love being male. I'm very proud to be male. And I think we should be as masculine as possible because that's the point of being male. What do you make of their final comments here that they make, Grandpa?
Well, I think the fact that this thing is made of 100% cotton is racist. I think they should have chosen something else because if it's 100% cotton, it has to be tied to slavery. So it has to be racist. Now, this sort of ridiculousness is just a reflection of a society. Of course, we know it's a society in decline, but it's a society where people just apparently don't have enough to worry about. I mean, these are just made up things. And as I said before, who the hell is going to pay over $1,000 for a piece of clothing? I mean, who are they even marketing this to? I guess some wealthy celebrity or something might buy one. They're not going to get rich hanging these things, you know, on the shelves of the stores for regular people to go in. It's just it's a statement. And the same thing. You look at when they have these fashion shows, you know, in the women's clothing and they're walking down the runway in this big thing that looks like a giant hat that she's wearing for a dress or some other absurdity. And you're never going to see anybody actually wear this stuff. So what's even the point? It just seems to me it's all a reflection of a society that's not only in decline, but of a decadent people that just apparently doesn't have any actual real worries in life. They sit around and it's like a downward spiral of navel gazing and they come up with this stuff because, I mean, let's say, who are they going to sell this? Nobody's going to actually buy this. They know they're not going to make any money on it. So what the hell what are they even doing with this? But apparently it's just supposed to enlighten us poor plebes out here so that we understand how unenlightened we are. Same thing. We look at art and you look at a beautiful painting of a landscape and, you know, or a picture of people and it takes you back and you think of a simpler time or, oh, yes, you know, there's a father and son out on the riverbank fishing and it makes you, it moves you. But then you go and they say, oh, no, that's not art. Here's some art. And it's just a bunch of random colors splashed on a canvas. This is real art. If you knew what beauty was, if you knew what art was, you would know that this is art. But you're obviously stupid and a plebe. And you don't know that this is art here. But it's just random colors splashed on a canvas. No, it's beautiful. So you look at it and you stare at it. And it makes you think of what you think it should be. It's all nonsense. And it's the same thing with this. Nobody's going to buy this. But they tell you, well, this is what's trendy. This is what real fashion is. The fact that you wear your blue jeans that got stains on them from actually doing work, that's not a fashion statement. But if you're rich and have $1,700 or whatever dollars to spend on a garment, you buy the garment with the stains and the holes already ripped in it. It's just continual absurdity, and it won't continue. The society's in decline, and these sorts of things honestly make me glad we're barreling towards societal collapse.
Perhaps it's aimed at that black male celebrity that likes wearing dresses. I seem to recall him wearing some silver get-up with a almost like a lampshade on his head and with curtains on the front, and the curtains would move from side to side, and he was at some awards ceremony. I think we may have discussed him some podcasts back. But we have another story here to get into concerning the vice presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, Kamala Harris. And it turns out she has been an activist for a very long time, longer than you ever would have thought of. Kamala Harris said she told her mother that she wanted freedom when she was a child and had just fallen out of her stroller at a civil rights march in Oakland, California, and revealed that her favourite way to greet people is with an African saying as part of an interview for Elle this month, on which she appeared on the cover. Now, thinking about this, she's saying that she said freedom when she fell out of her stroller at a civil rights march. And I'm guessing that kids up to about the age of 2 years old are inside these strollers. So what she's saying is that she was there at protests calling for freedom for the black people and black civil rights right from the age of two. Is that about how old these children are still in strollers, or could she have actually been about 1 year old, do you think, Grandpa? What do you make of this?
This is totally not a made-up story. I mean, of course it's a made-up story. I mean, we used to get a better quality of lie, but I guess, you know, the standards are being lowered for the sake of diversity, as is so often the case. You know, I mean, seriously, she fell out of her stroller, and when her mother comforted her and said, "What do you want?" She says, "I want freedom." Hey, who believes this shit? And of course, the people interviewing her aren't like, "Now, hold on, Kamala. That's bullshit. You know that's bullshit. I know it's bullshit. Where are you going with this?" And why would she greet people with an African saying her mother, she's no African, period. I mean, her mother is Indian, dot, not feather, to be clear. Her mother is Indian and her father was black. It would make more sense if she said she greets people with the Hindu saying of whatever the Hindu saying would be. It's like a complete, it's just a whole complete forgery. They're passing her off as black, but she's just as much Indian than she is black. But they're making this, they're creating this, or they're marketing her, because everything in the U.S. is marketing. Everything is marketed in some way, shape, or form. And they're marketing her as the first black female, but she's only half black. She's half black, half Indian. I mean, I guess if you looked at her, you'd say, well, I guess she's black, but she's, my understanding, she's a practicing Hindu, which means she kind of, in her own identity, I would think, leans towards the India side. But it's awful funny. They never play that up. I was going to say whitewash it, but I suppose they blackwash her Indian heritage out of the picture, and they're trying to just pass her off as simply black. And obviously this stupid freedom story is obviously a part of that.
I think the Indian saying is namaste. I may not be correct in that. I do think it's actually namaste is what they say. And I think her mother is Indian. She's certainly more Indian than she looks black. I mean, she doesn't have an afro. I guess they think that they can just call her black and everybody else will just go along with it, because that's what they're being told by the mainstream media, of course. But really, they're stripping her of her actual ethnic heritage there. She told the magazine she was being wheeled through the march with her parents and uncle when she fell out. I mean, we got child negligence here. Why wasn't this child taken away from her parents? I mean, they've allowed her to fall out of the stroller. They haven't strapped her in. The adults, she said, did not notice immediately. I mean, this story just gets even worse. I mean, this child could have just been abducted. I'm surprised, actually, that when they came back to find the child, that she wasn't actually there lecturing all the people around her about civil rights and feminism and how people should be voting for the Democratic Party. But no, she was just calling out freedom. My mother tells a story about how I'm fussing, and she's like, "Baby, what do you want? What do you need?" And I just looked at her and I said, "Freedom." Harris said, "What do you make of this, Grandpa? This fleshing out of the story here."
Well, and it just also so happens her mother's dead, so we can't, of course, verify this. But we don't this story, but we don't even need to verify. It's so absurd on its face. I mean, is anybody going to really read this and actually believe it? This is I don't know. I should put up a poll. Which story is more believable, this one or Biden's story about corn pop? Because it's a pretty close race here. Freedom. I mean, she's in a stroller. She's thinking about, where's my bottle? And I wish somebody would change my crappy diaper. This story is so absurd. We used to get, you know, I don't know, better quality of lies. You know, there was at least, you could stretch your imagination to believe what they're telling you. But this is, and this is so absurd on its face. I don't even know people like that are hardcore lefties that are going to vote Biden Harris all the way. I mean, they have to be reading this and cringing, going, "Yeah, no, that's not really very, very believable here." I mean, you know, how is this even? It's cringe. It's absurd to the point, Sven, that it's actually cringy.
Well, the Democratic vice presidential nominee also revealed how she prefers to greet people with the African saying, "I see you," than by saying, "Nice to meet you," because she feels it demonstrates people seen as their full selves. It sounds like a warning to me. I see you. It's like, "I see you over there." I mean, it's a warning, isn't it? It's not a pleasant greeting. Is that really the way that Africans greet one another? "I see you." It's like saying you better watch out. It's nothing like the very pleasant and courteous "nice to meet you," which is obviously the Western way of greeting. Is it just me, Grandpa, or does "I see you" sound rather like a threat to you?
I don't know. As far as she may be just pulling that one out. I mean, I've known Nigerians before, and they're from Africa, literal Nigerians from Africa. And when I would run into them, you know, they'd basically say, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" And, you know, they didn't say, "I see you," because that would be weird. So I don't even know. I don't know. Maybe, I guess it's a saying that's kind of a broad term, the African saying, because I'm sure people in Nigeria probably have a different saying than people in Somalia or people in Ethiopia. I mean, it's a pretty broad saying, you know, to just lump it in with the entire continent. I mean, if you lumped in the entirety of North America, heck, even the U.S., I mean, people greet each other in a different way. I mean, like, here in Texas, you're probably going to get something like, you know, "How y'all doing?" You know, it reminds me of several years back when American Idol was still kind of a thing, and they were doing the auditions, and they were down in Texas, and a guy flunked out. He wasn't going to get to go to Hollywood. And when he left, he looked at him and said, "Well, y'all be careful." And that's just what people say here, is it's like saying "see y'all later" or whatever. You say, "Well, y'all be careful." And Simon Cowell got all in a tizzy, and all the whole little board of judges got all wound tight because they thought he had threatened them. "Y'all be careful. I'm out to get you." They called security, and security was like, "Yeah, no, that's what people here talk like." So I think it's absurd anyway to say the entire continent of Africa uses this saying that we've somehow managed to never hear before. And once again, why the hell would she even be using this saying? I mean, her father was black, but he wasn't from Africa. I don't think he was from the U.S., so he wasn't African, and her mother was an Indian. But apparently they did a focus group, and throwing this tidbit in, apparently maybe it's good for a half point bump in the polls. I don't know.
I think they actually speak English in Nigeria, or pidgin English at least. Well, nowhere in the interview did Harris speak about Biden. I think she's made quite a few mistakes like this, hasn't she? She did an interview a while back, and she was talking about what she was going to do if she got elected, and she didn't mention him there. I think it's quite clear that if Biden does get elected, he'll be gone within 2 or 3 months, and it will be Kamala Harris that is the president. I mean, he's so old and senile and doddery, and he's just not with it. He would have to step down for medical reasons, I think, if he actually wins the election, which of course I don't think that he is going to do. Well, she did recall holding her 7-year-old godson on the eve of Trump's 2016 election win, when his victory was becoming apparent, and soothing him. His trauma over Trump's win inspired her speech after she was elected to the Senate. And just look at these words: a trauma. A 7-year-old is traumatized by Donald Trump winning. Why would a 7-year-old be traumatized? He'd only be traumatized because he's been told to feel that way by his parents, I would suggest. Most children, I think, are quite impressed with Donald Trump. He's a larger than life character. He's got lots of sayings that he used to use when he was on the television. He comes across as friendly. I would imagine that children would quite warm to Donald Trump if it wasn't for the fact that their parents were so anti him. But to say that a child was traumatized, a 7-year-old child was traumatized. Once again, what they're doing here is they're trying to attribute adult emotions to innocent children, which we see all the time. They try to claim that children can actually give their consent. They are innocent children. They shouldn't be traumatized over Trump's win. The fact that he was traumatized by it, it actually looks badly on his parents and looks badly on Kamala Harris, I think. Wouldn't you say, Grandpa?
Well, once again, for the umpteenth time, I'm calling bullshit on this story, because the election results they tend to come in late. It's way past a 7-year-old's bedtime. I think it's another made up story. And yeah, she said several times, she said the Harris Biden president, you know, she's the Harris president of the Harris administration. It's just like riding Joe out of it. I think obviously the plan is he's like the Trojan horse. I don't even know it would be fully her. I think there's just a whole bunch of like commie administrators that figure that they can get Biden in there. It reminds me of like, you know, back in the day when we had monarchies, you know, and a king would die or get removed from the throne and they would put a child king in his place. You know, they'd be saying, oh, well, this 7-year-old, this 10-year-old is your new king. And they'd set this kid up on the throne. And, you know, all it wound up being was the corrupt administrators would run the country, but they would have the throne as a front. They would use the authority, tell the kid, hell, put your stamp on this. This is what we're going to do. He's a kid. He doesn't know what he's doing. And it's the same with Joe Biden. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where he is. And probably like a child is crapping his pants. So I don't. So, you know, yeah, that's what you get. You know, they're trying to use him as a front because he comes across as non-threatening, you know, older boomer types that haven't noticed that the Democratic Party has turned into the full Communist Party. You know, they look at Joe Biden and he doesn't seem threatening. He seems like a, you know, a harmless grandfatherly type. And they think, well, you know, yeah, it'll be OK. He won't be the mean orange man, but he's not going to do anything radical like, you know, a Kamala Harris would. She's the second person on the ticket. But we all know this is absurd. You're going to have commie administrators and Kamala Harris at the head of them that will actually be running the country.
Well, she goes into some detail of the inspiration that her godson's trauma actually brought out in her. She says, my godson Alexander, who was 7 years old at the time, came up to me crying and said, Auntie Kamala, they're not going to let that man win, are they? And you know the babies in your life. As if this is believable. If he did come up there crying at this, and you know, again, this is bad parenting. It really is to allow the child to be worried about who actually gets elected. They're supposed to be out having fun and not worried about adult things at that age. She says, I held him. I mean, it still brings me pain to remember how he felt and what it made me feel, which is that I needed to protect this child. I had one way in my mind I thought the evening would go, and then there was the way it turned out. And so by the time I took the stage, I had ripped up my notes, and all I had was Alexander in my heart. And I took the podium, and I said, I intend to fight. I intend to fight. As if Donald Trump is going to be attacking children. And that's what's implied here, isn't it? Donald Trump is going for the children. She needed to protect this child from President Trump, who has children of his own. I mean, does this woman have children of her own? I don't think she does have children of her own. Otherwise, she wouldn't be going on about her godson and herself when she was a child. Donald Trump is far more qualified to look after the children than she is. I think this goes back to all those insinuations that he was locking children up away from their parents at the border. When, of course, if you are arrested, then you will be separated from your children because you've been arrested. Whether you've been arrested in America or on the border of America, it's the same thing. It wasn't a deliberate policy aimed at children. But it's just absolutely ludicrous here that she needed to protect a child from Donald Trump. And that was inspired her to take up fighting for the Democratic Party. I mean, this whole story is completely ludicrous. What are your final thoughts on it, Grandpa?
Yeah, exactly. What did she do? I mean, what did she fight? What did she do to keep the evil orange man from coming and getting her 7-year-old godson or whatever? I mean, it is. It's absurd on its face. I'm just going up here and I'm going to protect this child from the evil orange man. By doing what? I mean, what has she done? What has the Democratic Party done? I mean, all they've done is hold hearings. We've had nothing but nonstop hearings. We had the Russia hoax, the Russiagate hoax hearings forever and ever. All they do is hold hearings. I don't know that they've done anything. I mean, if they really believe this, which they don't, what have they actually done except hold hearings, posture, grandstand, and get ready for the next election? I haven't actually done anything. But yeah, it's just another absurd story. And they can sit through these things. They'll sit here and Trump can talk, and they'll sit here and try to fact check everything he says. And even if he says it's true, they'll claim it's not true because they found some quote unquote expert that says it's not true. But she could sit here and rattle off a story that's utterly absurd on its face. And the interviewer will sit there with a straight face as though this is real and not be like, oh, hold on now. Come on. Come on. That doesn't even sound believable. Hold on. Even if they cut, be like, OK, stop the cameras rolling for just a minute. Look, you're going to have to come up with a better story. We can take a 10-minute break, get with your script writers, and get them to come up with a more believable story. Because anybody that reads this is going to know it's utter and complete and total bullshit. I'm sorry. There's just some things you can't use a better word for. There's not a better word. Bullshit is the only word that applies here. And, you know, they just should have paused and said, come up with a more believable story. Because both of these stories, the I want freedom and, oh, I protected my grandson, who was bawling at midnight as the election results came out instead of being in bed. You know, these are not believable stories. I don't even think Harris, Biden, whatever the hell supporters think this story is believable. And yet this is what they put out here. And this is what we're supposed to believe.
Where are the Facebook fact checkers when you need them to verify a story? How is she going to fight anyone with a third less body strength than men? Again, she's just completely deluded. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
TV, and I thought it was a shame. It was a man dressed like a woman, and he had a boy's name.
Well, I heard it on the radio while I was in the tub. Now, Joe, what in the world is this thing they call the Culture Club?
Well, it's some old boy from England, Mo, and he's making $1 million.
Yo, we'll never make $1 million. Driving these old trucks.
Too many nights of drinking, losing football bets. Lately we'd do anything to get us out of debt.
Where's the dress? Give me them high heel shoes.
Where's the dress? We'll be money making fools.
We might close the bars down and cause a few arrests.
If it makes some money, tell me where's the dress. Well, I'll hire me a nurse to tote my purse, and I'll keep it full of beer.
Yeah, and I'll have a girl to drive my truck, and one to tease my hair.
We can still go fishing, wear our old blue jeans. When it comes to showtime, we'll be country queens.
Them high heel shoes.
Where's the dress? We'll be money making fools.
We might close the bars down, cause a few arrests.
But if it makes some money, tell me where's the dress?
Where's the dress?
Now, Mo, let's get on down to the store and get some lipstick and some rouge.
Where's the dress?
Hey, Joe, why don't we do this thing up front and get some of them ostrich plumes?
You know,
where's the dress?
I was wondering if they made a pink pump in a size 12, Mo.
Where's the dress?
You don't think that old boy from England shaves his legs, do you, Joe?
Where's the
dress? I don't know, Mo, but it'd take a bush hog to cut the hair off our legs.
Where's the dress?
Boy, I'm sitting there. Boy, Mo, boy, Joe, and the grand old opera.
Mo.
Where's the dress?
I don't think old Roy would like that at all. No. No way, Mo.
Where's the dress?
I can't wait to see you, Joe, in one of them cross your heart brassieres. Yeah.
Where's the dress?
I tell you what, Mo, you're gonna look good in them pink pantyhose.